I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is KETR's Locker Room, your sports podcast for Northeast Texas. Each week, we look at the biggest headlines in sports and highlight local sports stories. Here's your hosts.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to KETR's Locker Room. I'm Taylor Phelps, your host, with my co-hosts Jordan Davis and Cooper Welch. Today on the show, fantasy football, including a cowboy that I see in the top 10, as well as a popular Heisman that I think will be a bust in this year's draft. Rangers seem like a good call on Garza after a walk-off last night to beat the Angels, but do they need more and a coach besides Ron Washington that might be the problem? Cowboys, is Monte Kiffin the answer, and two Cowboys on the all-bad starting teams? You're listening to KETR's Locker Room, but let's begin with fantasy football. So, Cooper, who are your top 10 picks for this year?
Well, that's a good question, Taylor. I haven't done too much research this year. Usually I have four or five magazines, but I only have one so far this year. And I'm just going to have to stick pretty close to what Sports Illustrated said. That's the one I picked up this year. And they have Adrian Peterson, number one overall, which is,
of course,
you know, pretty simple.
Yeah,
he is still an injury risk, still is on a pretty horrible team. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Christian Ponder's been better.
Yeah, Christian Ponder's been better. The line should have be a little bit more improved from last year, but we'll see. Anyway, he's my number one. Then I've got Arian Foster as a pretty consensus number two. He had a little bit of a down year last year because teams had started to figure him out. The passing game was hurt a little bit in the Texans' offense, so that tends to hurt your running game as well. Then I've got Drew Brees as my first quarterback and as third overall. And then another running back is fourth, Doug Martin from Tampa Bay. Jamal Charles is fifth at Kansas City. I think he's going to have a much better season, and he already had a miraculous season last year.
Going to have a better quarterback for sure. So
and a better coach. Then Matt Forte is sixth. I love Matt Forte. I've had him on my teams at least four out of five seasons. C.J. Spiller is 7, Ray Rice 8th. Calvin Johnson is the only receiver on my list in the top 10, and Aaron Rodgers rounds out the top 10 for me.
And you know, like we've seen in all the magazines and on ESPN, all running backs almost. It seems like running backs are the hot thing right now, and it really depends on how you set up your league.
That's
as
true.
We talked about before the show, but running backs are big. So we'll go over to you, Jordan. What do you have for us?
Well, Cooper has all the big names.
Yeah.
I feel like my list would be nothing compared to his. But first of all, I think I'm with him, Adrian Peterson. Except for two, instead of putting Arian Foster, me, I would put Brandon Marshall up there.
Okay.
Because Brandon Marshall gets a lot of catches every year, and people really don't look at that. Three, a quarterback. I don't have Drew Brees. I have Tom. Because it's Tom Brady. Four, I have Doug Martin. And five, I have C.J. Spiller instead of Jamal Charles because Jamal Charles got hurt. Six, I have Jamal Charles. Seven, I have Calvin. Eight, I have Aaron. And then nine, I'm gonna do a new one on here. I put Cam in the top 10.
Okay. Wow, yeah. Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's in the top 10.
I can see that.
And then the last person is Julio Jones, because Julio, he just makes plays and he gets a lot of points.
Yeah, I could see him having an outstanding season.
Especially they gave Matt Ryan a new contract, so they on board. Watch out for them.
Yeah, you know, both of you have a real good list, and a few surprises, especially from you, Jordan, with Cam Newton. I don't know how that's going to pan out, but mine is pretty similar, but I have some definite, I think some shockers on my list. Adrian Peterson, obviously not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arian Foster, obviously not. Those are my first two. But three, Peyton Manning.
Wow.
A guy who has a lot. It may be crazy to say the guy has a lot to prove, but he's in a situation where, you know, they need to be good now.
Yes, they do.
And it's second season. He didn't play for a whole season. He had a great season last year. And I mean, look at what he was able to do coming in his first year. So I think we'll see definite difference there with Peyton. Doug Martin, number four, another just solid running backs, really, that you can just count on every week to get you points. Number five, Calvin Johnson, huge producer at the receiver position, and I think receivers will be point getters this year, and he has a good quarterback in Matthew Stafford. Things are always on his shoulders, so I see him there. Alfred Morris, Washington Redskins. A guy who's going to have a lot more responsibility running the ball this
year. Yeah, that's
a
surprise.
That's a big surprise, bigger than Cam.
Alfred Morris up there. Let's just say RG3 comes back first week. Not going to run the ball. He's not running
the
ball.
That's true. That's true.
So where's the ball going to be placed in the running game? We know RG3 is going to be told, you know, let's check down to Alfred when we need to get that running the ball. And so Alfred Morris is going to be up there. Jamal Charles, I think, is another safe pick, even though coming off injury. Marshawn Lynch at Seattle at number 8. Seattle's good. Russell Wilson is right there, and their defense is good, so I think they'll have the ball in their hands a lot more.
Yeah, dark horse to win the Super Bowl this year.
Exactly, and a lot more chance for him to see the ball. Mm. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's going to put up huge numbers. He's like he's the good man's Tony Romo. He's what we wish Tony Romo would be.
He has been sacked more than, I think, all but 3 quarterbacks in the league this past 2 seasons.
Really?
So he has a terrible offensive line.
Yeah, he has problems there, and we've seen some struggles in the past. I don't know how Ryan Braun's going to affect him. I don't know what's going on there with his relationship.
His bromance.
And then number 10, and I promised everyone a Cowboy. Mm-hmm. So Dez Bryant.
Number 10.
Okay.
Dez Bryant, I think he's going to be the go-to guy this year. I really do. I think that Tony and him finally have things figured out from what I've heard from training camp, and I definitely see Dez Bryant making an impact. If you draft him, I see him being someone who's going to get you points, and that's what it's about in fantasy. So let's go ahead and move over to top 3 at each position. We pretty much know our running backs on the list, so let's just go ahead and do QBs to start with. So, Jordan, you want to start us off?
Okay. I'm going a lot of sophomores, all sophomores. Check this out.
Wow.
I got Russell Wilson,
number one.
Because Russell, he does not turn the ball over. He's a smart quarterback. He does what he has to do to win. He gets a lot of points. 2, of course, Robert Griffin. If he comes back and he's healthy, it is Robert Griffin that we saw last season. Mm-hmm. He can make a lot of good moves. But check this out. The third one I have, and I know y'all going to look at me like, what, is Ryan Tannehill.
Wow. Number 3 overall.
See, now I remember why we picked Jordan to be on the show, so he'd make us look good.
Yeah, that's
Ryan
right.
Tannehill, I'm telling you, he got more weapons. He has my receiver, Mike Wallace.
Uh-huh.
And his coaches say he's going to be the most improved quarterback. And he promised
it. You really think Ryan Tannehill?
Hey, I think Ryan Tannehill.
Let's just go. The majority of the show on KETR's Locker Room does not support your decision to draft Ryan Tannehill.
The views and opinions discussed here do not.
Hey, Ryan Tannehill is going to surprise a lot of people. I have faith in him.
Okay.
I really do.
Let's put that down on our...
Yeah, we're putting that on paper. We'll let you know at the end of the season.
Our big board of predictions that we really need to work on.
I'm telling you, he has it. Tell you, I see it.
Well, mine, I'm just going to go ahead and just list them off real quick. I already said Peyton, I already said Aaron. And then 3rd, Drew Brees, solid pick. He's always going to put up numbers. I don't see any surprises there, those 3 guys. So, Cooper?
You know, I got to say Drew Brees, he holds the record for most passing yards in a season. You can't go against a guy like that. I think my 2nd overall is Aaron Rodgers, even though I said that stuff about him getting sacked a lot. I do think they've worked on the offensive line, and if they can finally find a consistent running back, that would really help him out. And then I think Tom Brady is still going to have an amazing year, even though he's lost. He's probably lost Gronkowski. He has definitely lost Hernandez.
And he lost Wes.
He lost Wes Welker. So I don't know. But the Patriots.
They'll find someone.
You can't go against the Patriots.
Never.
Who knows? Tim Tebow could be a tight end. They've talked about it. They've talked about Tim Tebow being a tight end.
And we don't want to get off on a Tebow rampage because I know if we start now, it'd go on for 30 minutes. But yeah, who knows where Tebow's going to be, and maybe that'll help Brady out.
Well, let's do running backs next.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do running backs. Now, We've kind of set our running backs, but we'll go ahead and give them to you in order real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Mine are Adrian Peterson, Arian Foster, and Doug Martin. I mean, I think that's pretty
consensus.
Pretty solid choices there. Cooper, do you have anything different than that? Or?
No, I've got those same 3. I think Adrian Peterson still is an injury risk, like I said earlier. But I think if he stays healthy, he could beat the rushing record this season because he got within a few yards last season.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, to come off injury the way he did, what's to stop him this season? Everyone knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. It's not like he snuck up on anybody.
Yeah.
The whole season they game planned against him and they couldn't stop him.
Yeah,
I don't
they
see
still
anything
couldn't
being
stop
different.
Him. And I think Arian Foster is number two. I think the Texans drafting DeAndre Hopkins as a another receiver.
Oh, that's going to be a boost.
Yeah, that's going to help. It's going to help their passing game
a lot. Because
no one will be double covering Andre Johnson, and so that'll help the running game.
Yes.
And because the Texans added the only guy that really hurt Matt Schaub last year to their own team, so they don't have to worry about Matt Schaub getting hurt anymore. So I think Arian Foster could be, honestly, right behind Adrian Peterson in yards and rushing attempts and in touchdowns and everything else. And then third, Doug Martin. You can't go against him. We've seen the Tampa Bay system really works. We saw before Doug Martin, LeGarrette Blount had a great couple seasons. And LeGarrette Blount, honestly, is a character issue guy and all sorts of stuff with him. So if LeGarrette Blount can succeed in that system, I think Doug Martin can. Although it's a new coach in Greg Schiano. So I'm not absolutely sure Doug Martin's a lock at number three. I could see Jamaal Charles or Matt Forte taking that third spot.
Let's go ahead and let Jordan give his three.
Let me
knows
tell you.
Who it is.
Let me tell you. My three running backs are better than my three quarterbacks.
Okay.
I got Arian Foster at one because, you know, AP is everybody's, but I think Arian Foster is going to have another solid season.
Yeah.
You know,
three in a row.
Team.
Yeah. He's going to.
Matt Schaub,
yeah.
They hold the ball for a long time. So
he's going to have a better run. Check this out.
Okay.
I got Marshawn Lynch as my second one. Because Marshawn Lynch is a beast. Mm-hmm. Let's face it. We have seen highlights of him running over multiple people at one time. Mm-hmm. But check this out. The third one, and I know people are going to look at me again like this, but he's in a new team. He has a good quarterback, Steven Jackson for the Falcons.
Wow.
He might can get back to the form he was in St.
Louis.
Someone
I didn't think of, but you might be right there. Now, I don't know if he's going to topple AP, and AP's not going to
No, he's not
going to
topple, but he's going to have a way better season in Atlanta than
he could have a good
St.
rebound,
Louis.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let me tell you this. Running backs, you know, if you're listening, you want to write something down to take back. Your running backs are going to be solid picks because even though, like we talked about, Doug Martin might not be a top three guy, he's going to be a point getter. You're not going to draft a Doug Martin unless – you know, God forbid injury happens, but you're not going to draft a guy like Doug Martin and be, oh, crud, he's killing me.
Yeah.
You know, he might just be a contributor, but they're all solid picks.
Yeah, running backs are always safe. That's why they say in your first three or four rounds of the draft, you want to get probably one of the top eight quarterbacks if you can, and you definitely want to get two, well, depending on your system, some people have one, some people have two, but you usually want to get two of the top 20 running backs.
Yeah.
Because after that top 20, like the first 20, there's not that much of a scoring difference unless you have Adrian Peterson the last season or Arian Foster 2 years ago. But otherwise, in the top 20, there's maybe a 15-point difference over the whole season.
Yeah.
But after that top 20, it's a huge drop-off. It's like a 30,
you're
40, 50-point.
You're not seeing the same amount of touches that you're on with the other guys.
Or
that's
touchdowns.
That really matters. Who are you giving the ball to? Who's scoring the touchdowns?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and transition over to wide receivers. You know, I've already kind of said mine, Calvin Johnson, Dez Bryant, but my last guy I think is going to be a little shocker, Demaryius Thomas.
Wow.
For the Denver Broncos. Demaryius Thomas is a guy who's, I think, is going to be Peyton Manning's go-to guy.
Mm.
And even though they have Wes Welker there, I think he's kind of the second, you know, receiver. And Peyton Manning spreads the ball around well, but he usually has a primary target.
Yeah.
And with an arm like Peyton Manning's, Demaryius Thomas is a guy who, you know, could have a lot of catches, especially after a year of, you know, getting used to each other.
Right.
And, you know, being ready for the upcoming season, I think they have a lot of goals set.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are my three. But, I mean, what do you guys?
You don't think Eric Decker is going to have as good of a season with Peyton then?
For real? You're just going to leave Eric out?
I just see Demaryius as being the guy.
The
go-to
guy.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I have him in my top three.
Okay. You want to go first on this one?
Well, my top three is pretty solid, I feel as though. I love Brandon Marshall. I mean, I've been in love with him since Denver. He's going to get catches. He's going to get me yards.
Yeah.
But check this out. I've never done this in my life. I've never gave any Cowboy any type of credit, but I think Dez Bryant's going to have a good year this year.
All right.
I mean, I think he's finally getting it.
We agree about something.
We agree about something, finally. Dez Bryant, he has too much talent to just not be there. Like,
yeah.
He's a threat everywhere, a kick returner in all sorts of fashion. But check this out. Victor Cruz for the Giants.
Wow, that's a good pick.
I think he got a new contract. He's, you know, he's happy now. Mm-hmm. I really think the Giants are going to make him like their main
priority. And those can work twofold, new contracts. They can either help make a player, they take a lot of pressure off of them, or they can break him and that I already got my money. But I do agree with you. I think Victor Cruz is a guy who's going to come in, you know, with the work ethic the right way and treat his contract like he should and like the fans want him to.
I agree. I think my three, you can't go against Megatron. Calvin Johnson has had consistent top 10 finishes, even with the assortment of quarterbacks he had before Matthew Stafford when he bounced around with the likes of John Kitna and all those guys. He's consistently been an amazing receiver. He's got to be top five. And then to round out my top three, I've got A.J. Green with the Cincinnati Bengals. Great year last year. He could have an even better season this year. And Julio Jones is my third guy. I think Julio Jones got a great quarterback in Matt Ryan, consistently improved. And Julio Jones, honestly, I think could be competing with Calvin Johnson as the top spot this year or next year, years to come. He's a great receiver. I could see a lot coming from him. And I had him last year on I think three of my four leagues, and he won me some games, so I'm going to stick with him.
Well, that's a solid pickup. I mean, you're right. The Falcons have had really good years, and Matt Ryan's a great quarterback with the contract extension. But, you know, next is a position that I think hasn't been as good as it really has been in the past few years, and even all the analysts who do tons of research on this fantasy draft, and that's where we get our information from. We are obviously three people that don't have, you know,
we're not paid to do this.
Yeah, a million hours to do this. But tight end. And my tight ends, I start with a Cowboy, Jason Witten. I really think that Jason Witten's going to have a good year with Tony Romo. And as a Cowboy fan, my expectations are so high for them to, you know, achieve what I wish they would.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's number one. Jimmy Graham, number two, and Vernon Davis, number three. Vernon Davis at three, he can't go against the 49ers. They're just stacked.
Yeah.
They're so stacked, and Kaepernick's a good quarterback. But those are my three, and I'd rather know what you guys say.
Okay. I'll take this one.
Okay.
I think Jimmy Graham, it's not even going to be close, because his only competition were Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez, and both of them are probably gone.
Yeah.
Jimmy Graham, he's going to have an amazing
season. And then Drew Brees is going to throw it to him a lot.
Drew Brees is going to target him a lot.
Yes.
So I think if you can get Jimmy Graham and you have a choice between him and one of the top 20 running backs or maybe even a top 8 quarterback, and you've already got some position filled on your team, I'd go Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
I mean, that's how big of an impact he's going to have compared to the rest of the tight ends. But then I think second is Jason Witten. Got to show some Cowboys love.
He we just could, have him switch there. I'm just more of a Cowboy than you
right,
are.
Right. Jason Witten, he's going to have a good year. He always does. But I do think there's a possibility of him having a down year because he's getting older. He's getting a little bit slower, and teams know a lot about him.
Yeah.
So. And they drafted a tight end for a reason in a pretty, I think, what, second round or third round?
It was their second pick.
Yeah, their second pick. So, I mean, that was for a reason. You could see a lot of touches going to him. And then my third pick, Vernon Davis. You can't go against the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick needs a lot of safety blankets, and he's definitely one.
Definitely a quilt.
Yeah, a quilt.
Yeah, he's probably a blanket.
Well, what about you?
Okay, well, first, you know, Jimmy Graham, that's everybody's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see him play all the time. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But second, I have Vernon Davis. Because, you know, Vernon Davis, he will always be a beast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he runs routes like a receiver. He has hands like a receiver. Mm-hmm. But my third one, I'm showing Texas some love. It's not Jason Witten, but Owen Daniels
of
the Houston Texans.
Okay.
He's always been a stable, you know, tight end. He's always, you know, him and Andre are going to catch passes. Mm-hmm. They just get your points. Like, only he's not going to get a lot of touchdowns, but he's going to get your points because he don't drop a lot of passes.
Yeah.
And me, personally, I like safe players rather than just the flashy ones because, you know, the Deshaun Jacksons and stuff can be good, but
Matt Shaw will give him the ball.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because, you know, Andre's getting older, and a rookie is going to help them out a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But Owen Daniels can catch the ball in third down, crucial third down situations, and he's also a goal line threat And,
yeah, definitely.
You know, touchdowns bring a lot of points to your fantasy. Mm-hmm. So Owen Daniels, for me, is my third best tight end.
I think that's a safe pick.
Well, let's go ahead and, you know, kind of get through these last two positions. And one is going to be like, well, what does that matter? But kickers.
Why are we talking about
it?
I don't even pay attention
kickers.
To kickers. I just pick a kicker.
Okay.
Mine, Steven Goskowski, Blair Walsh, and Matt Prater. Goskowski at New England. New England has so many struggles right now that I see them having trouble getting in the red zone, even though they have Tom Brady. But I know Tom will put them in field goal position.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have a lot of opportunities there for field goals, and that's what you got to look for in your kicker. Blair Walsh, Minnesota, same thing. Adrian Peterson is going to be able to get him into field goal range.
Yeah.
But once you start getting down to the goal line, it's going to be hard to punch it in. And Matt Prater at Denver, you know, their offense is so high-powered. I see the same thing. I see them getting a field goal position.
At least a lot of extra points, if nothing else.
Definitely.
Yeah, I have to say Steven Goskowski is my number one. You got to stick with the Patriots. Matt Bryant is my second with the Falcons. And then my third is Justin Tucker with the Baltimore Ravens. He's done some pretty good work. Kicked that winning field goal in the last Texas A&M game and won the Super Bowl the following season. So he's had some pretty big moments on his foot. I really think I got to go with him. Last year, my number one consensus pick for kicker and rather a disappointment to me was David Akers because he had a 50-50 shot with
up and down
the Niners. And he's I don't even know who he's with now, but he'd been consistently my number one and had done awesome stuff.
He's somebody that's not very good. I don't remember who it is.
I think it's the Browns.
It is the Browns, I think. Yeah. I believe it is the Browns.
So he's not on my top three anymore.
Well, my kickers, I don't even pay attention to kickers. If you're listening to the show, just stick with Cooper and Taylor's decision because my kickers, I just need a roster field because I count on my other big boys to kick. But kickers do win the game.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Now, I think it's always fun to be in those drafts where there's that one guy that takes a kicker like in the third or fourth round.
Yeah.
We're going to give you some advice right now. You don't want to take a kicker before the eighth. Never
sure.
reach.
Never.
Or a defense, usually.
They're going to be there, and there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the margin between each kicker is so insignificant.
And usually, at least one person picks a kicker they think is going to be good and is terrible, and then you can pick one up in free agency really easily off waivers or however you do it.
Somebody's going to come out of nowhere that ends up being somebody's kicker, and they're going
to
be fine.
And the best thing to do for me with kickers is you'll see people will have like the number one overall kicker and drop him on his bye week because they don't want to lose another player.
Yeah,
you drop one of your players immediately and pick that guy up because next week he's going to be worth a lot.
Yeah,
I do that every year. I see that they drop the number one overall kicker, and I'm like, you got to pick that guy up. That's something to do with kickers, with defenses, because people don't hang on to them because they're like, well, I can just get another one. You want that number one overall.
Exactly. So last, but definitely not least, defense and special teams. Mine, personally, Houston Texans, Seattle Seahawks, and San Francisco 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
All solid defenses, all solid special teams. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for consistency there to get you points every week.
Yeah. Jordan?
Well, my defense, of course, is the Seahawks. I mean, how can you go against them?
Yeah.
You're not. No. Everybody picks Seattle. It's point.
Everybody
period.
Can't pick Seattle.
Well, if you can't pick Seattle. Okay, and the next one I have the Houston Texans.
Right.
They added Ed Reed. That's going to help them out tremendously. He's a ball hawk along with J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I don't want to get in that. But my third one, I'm not giving up hope on my Steelers. We have Jarvis Jones in the draft. He's going to help us out. Troy Polamalu is going to be back. He's going to be healthy.
Okay.
And we were still in the top 10 defensively without Troy really being on the field.
Yeah, he wasn't good at all last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing all them hair commercials and he was making other money elsewhere.
Right.
But the Pittsburgh Steelers defense is still good.
Right.
It's just, you know, we had a couple of injuries, but watch out for the Steelers because that rookie is going to help us out a lot. Tell you.
Yeah, I got to go with Taylor here. Seattle, San Francisco, Houston. I do think I've got them switched around a little bit, though. I've got Seattle as my first, San Francisco is my second, and Houston is my third. Now, I've had Houston last season, and I had 49ers in another league. I've never had the Seahawks. They've always evaded me. But
came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
It really came out of
nowhere. I didn't expect it. Because for one thing, old what's-his-name, Pete Carroll, was not a defensive coach in college at all.
At all.
So he's done good work to hire a good defensive coordinator, and it's really showed up.
Yeah.
They've got great safeties, as we saw. A lot of discussions going on with what's-his-name that was having a verbal fight with Tom Brady after he picked him off.
Gosh.
Sherman.
Yeah, Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
Sherman is ridiculous.
Yes, he is a physical cornerback.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that dude. He's like the new...
Revis.
Yeah, the new Revis Island is going on right there.
2.0.
And now, here's my fourth pick, even though we're not really doing fours. I think Tampa Bay moves up that high because they added...
Darrell Revis.
Revis, yeah.
If he stays healthy, they are... Tampa Bay's always had a nice-looking defense.
Yeah.
It's just their offense is trash.
And Greg Schiano is a
defensive-minded
coach.
It came from Rutgers. So, I mean, Rutgers always will hit you in the mouth. They lost a lot of games, but they hit you in the mouth.
New Jersey people hit you in the mouth.
I'm just...
You're just whatever.
I'm just whatever. I'm looking at the sleepers.
Kickers, defense, you do whatever. I'm just going to draft QBs, wide receivers.
I'm the type of coach, if I draft you early, I have a lot of expectations for you.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you fail me, I will cut you so quick. You don't understand. I'm just one of them coaches. Hey, I believe in you, despite what everybody say. I believe. I know Tannehill, a lot of people scratching their heads like, what? Why did he do that? But I'm telling you, if he start having a good season, y'all, the same people are going to be looking at me like, okay, he think he's super cold or something. I'm telling you, watch him out. He's on my sleeper list, too.
Okay.
I'm telling you, watch out.
All right, for the last little NFL fantasy football segment we have here, we're going to talk sleepers and busts.
Okay.
So let's, first of all, start with sleepers. Mine, Tony Romo. Put a cowboy in there.
He's a sleeper.
A lot of people not gonna.
He's asleep.
A lot of people
at least.
Underestimating him, and I think he's gonna have a good year. You know, I have high expectations once again. Larry Fitzgerald, new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzgerald's so good. Mm-hmm. There was a time when you know I was like, this dude is the best receiver in football.
Yeah.
He just is not on a good team.
That postseason run they had.
We saw what Kurt Warner can do.
Yeah.
What he can do with a decent quarterback.
You think Carson's gonna really help him out that much?
I don't know.
Not Kurt Warner. Not as much as Kurt Warner, but more than
Cobb.
Whoever they had.
Yeah, Cobb or Skelton or
some guy.
I really did feel bad for that man.
And then Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
I don't understand why he's not on a lot of the top charts. I mean, the dude can run the ball and throw the ball and puts up great numbers with a great defense that will give him the ball enough to make things happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with the ball going through his hand every snap, I don't see how you can go wrong if Kaepernick's around and you take him. I think it could pay off and he could be your best quarterback you get.
Yeah.
But those are the three sleepers, and then Cooper.
Okay.
What do you got for us?
I've got Jamaal Charles. Talked about him a lot already, but he returned from an ACL tear last season with 1,500 yards on just 285 carries. Now, he only had 6 touchdowns, but that's because the Chiefs' offense couldn't get anywhere near the goal line. So most of those touchdowns were coming from a 50- or 60-yard sprint. So I think with a new coach is Andy Reid, great offensive mind.
Great.
And a better quarterback than Matt Cassel and Alex Smith. Now, 3 years ago, I would never said Alex Smith was a better quarterback than anybody.
Oh, my God.
But he's got
really
a lot better.
I really think Alex Smith is a good quarterback.
So I think Jamaal Charles honestly could have a top 3 season. And I loved having him on my team. My second sleeper is another Chief, Dwayne Bowe.
Yes.
Dwayne Bowe had a great 2011 with questionable quarterbacks, ridiculous receiving yards, and had several touchdowns. Last year, he had quite a bit of a drop-off, didn't really do much, but he's got, as I said, Smith and Reed. Smith and Reed will really help the Chiefs out, I think, overall. And the Chiefs already have a good defense, so I think that team honestly could be better. Just in general. And then my third sleeper is Larry Fitzgerald. He's got Bruce Arians as a head coach now, and I mean, he took the Colts with a brand new quarterback and a lot of new players without Peyton Manning and took him to a pretty good record. And he wasn't even the head coach. He was the interim head coach.
Yeah.
So I think him coaching the Arizona Cardinals will be a big step up. And Carson Palmer is back, and I think, significantly better than he was a few seasons ago. He had an okay season with Oakland, and he is way better than John Skelton and whoever else was playing quarterback for Arizona. So those are my three sleepers.
Okay, I know y'all anticipating waiting my three. I know y'all really want to hear. My three is way different from y'all's. Okay. I mean, y'all have Bo, Charles, and
Surprise.
Fitzgerald, whoop, whoop, you know. But check mine out. First, I have Justin Blackmon.
He could have a great season.
If Blaine Gabbert can get some protection and actually throw the ball.
That's asking a lot.
Asking a lot. But Justin Blackmon had his second half of the season was almost similar to Dez Bryant's.
Yeah. Although Blaine Gabbert just got a sprained ankle, so
okay. Well, these are sleepers. He might sleep again.
Yeah, it's sleeper.
Of course, I'm telling people Tannehill is a sleeper. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, he's coming back with vengeance. He has a better supporting cast. And the third sleeper on my list is Dustin Keller, the tight end they got from New York that a couple years ago was Mark Sanchez's only and favorite target.
Yeah.
And he's a tight end. He can catch the ball. He can get you yards. And he can block. That's why I really like him, because he can block. And I don't know who that running back is, but he's going to have a better season too, because Dustin Keller is an improved player. And I know we don't have a fourth, and it kills me to say the fourth, but don't sleep on Jay Cutler. He has a brand new coordinator. He has Brandon Marshall. He has Matt Forte. He has weapons around him. It's just, you know, sometimes Cutler can get in his emotions, and when he gets in his emotions, he's a female playing quarterback. But he's going to be pretty decent this year, I think.
I agree with you. I think Cutler could have a great season because, for one thing, he's married. And
you think that's going to help him?
Well, hey, have you seen his wife? I'd be playing better if I was married to that woman.
Maybe he doesn't have anything to play for anymore.
That's true.
That's how I look at it.
But think about it this way. He doesn't have to impress some girl anymore. He's already got her locked up. So maybe.
Thank God.
You know, you never know.
If he was impressing last season.
Yeah.
All right, Jordan, you start us off with bust.
Oh, I got Jones Drew. I got Randall Cobb. And I have Ben Roethlisberger, even though that's my quarterback.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to explain any of those?
Well, yeah. Jones Drew, he's in Jacksonville. He doesn't have an offensive line. So, I mean, I feel bad for the man. He tries so hard every game, but it's just too hard because he has no protection. Who else did I say? Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb drops passes. I saw that he had a 104. He only caught 80. So he drops a lot of passes. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be the best, according to Jaws, supposed to be the best quarterback. I don't agree with that.
Yeah,
that's
why
I put him on a bus, because I don't like the Packers. And Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, that's my man. He got two Super Bowls, but he's getting old. He's getting banged up. I really think Landry Jones, before the end of the season is over with, he's going to get a lot of playing time because I think it's time for Ben to, you know, think about retirement, man. He's been there a good long, you know, it's time for youth. And I think that's the whole Pittsburgh atmosphere. Okay, you see the names, they're kind of fading away. I think Troy is going to go to Head and Shoulders and be their main correspondent because I think football is just, you know, getting to the point. And I mean, I'm sorry, Ben, if you're out there, I'm sorry, but unless you prove me wrong.
Did you say Troy Polamalu be Head and Shoulders?
He's going to be Head and Shoulders correspondent. He's definitely going to do business with them because he's making more money with them than he is with the Steelers.
Yeah. Don't say anything bad about Troy, though, because he'll pop up in the studio.
Yes, and I do not need that. So, Troy, please stay wherever you're at.
Right. Well, what about you?
Mine, RG3.
Wow.
Okay.
With the knee injury, don't expect as much as you did last year. And I know he's real determined and everything, and I could be completely wrong and completely off, but I definitely see if someone's going to take him and be like, yeah, I'm going to get this guy. I'm going to get RG3, and everybody's going to miss out on him. He's going to be the number one point guy, but he's not. I really don't see him doing that, because if RG3 is doing what Peyton Manning's doing, Peyton Manning's going to do it better than him. And second, Gronk, because who knows if Gronkowski will even – make an appearance, and when he does, he'll dance and get hurt, or he'll
body slam somebody and get hurt again.
That ruins
go party at some random point.
Yeah, exactly. And then Cam Newton, same thing with an RG3 kind of guy. Oh, he runs the ball and he does well, and he's the only guy on their team. But you know, Cam, I'm over Cam. He had that breakout year the first year, and people figured him out, and I didn't see. I just see it getting worse. I don't see him getting better.
Okay. He hasn't matured yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although he is going back to college for his degree. That's pretty good.
It took him this long to realize he needed to go back to college.
I may not be able to do this too much longer.
The cool thing is, though, everybody that's in his classes at Auburn, like, I think almost every day gets donuts and coffee and orange juice because he has a bunch of morning classes. I want to be in class with that
guy. Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
That I want to be nice. In class.
I wonder how,
with class
the, how yeah. fast the class is filled up.
Yeah, who knows?
They probably don't even pay attention to the teacher. They're like, oh, Cam's in here.
Let's just look at Cam. Anyway, I think my sleepers are pretty similar to your guys. Maurice Jones-Drew, he has a terrible team, and he was honestly not that great last year. I think my second pick, Robert Griffin III, he's going to wear a knee brace all year, so even if he's got a great passing season, he's not going to have nearly as many rushing yards because it's hard to run with a knee brace. I don't know if you guys have ever tried to do that, but yeah, you're not going
to
be as fast.
It's hard to run with an ankle brace on.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine the knee brace.
Yeah. And then my third pick is Rob Gronkowski. He's had like 50 bajillion surgeries over his career,
exactly.
And he's starting training camp on the physically unable to perform list or the PUP list. So I honestly don't see him even being back before the season starts. Who knows what's going to happen with that dude?
I have to say one thing.
Okay.
These rookies, I'm telling you, are going to get some points. And I think Tavon Austin of the Rams is number one rookie right now to me.
Okay.
I mean, everybody is, you know, saying so much about this kid. They saying he can be like the next Wes Welker, Amendola. Yeah, him. And I mean, Sam Bradford is still a good quarterback. So do y'all have any other rookies that you see making a big impact in fantasy football?
You know, I don't know. I think
Monte Ball is, ESPN is showing him a lot of
Monte
love.
Monte Ball is going to be a good running back. But I honestly think, and this is a way out there prediction, but I think Travis Frederick could have a big impact on fantasy because he's going to change Tony Romo. Now, he won't score any points for you.
Yeah.
Don't ever draft a center. I'm saying that right now. But I don't know. I think it could happen. I think he could make a big impact. Okay. And also the tight end the Cowboys drafted, I think both of those will change Tony Romo.
Well, if the ball's not going over Tony's head, then that's a few more steps the game.
Oh, my gosh. Phil Costa. I wanted to punch him. I wouldn't say that.
I don't think you wanted to punch him.
Well,
but
if he wasn't punching back,
punch him, yeah.
If he wasn't punching back, I'd definitely punch him.
Yes.
All right. Well, that ends our fantasy talk for the day. We'll be back in a minute to talk Rangers bats, a coach that we might want to see gone from the Rangers, as well as Monty Kiffin in the NFL, and of course, more ridiculous comments from Jordan Davis.
Woohoo!
This has been KETR's Locker Room. We'll be back in a minute.
For many of us, our cars are like old friends. And like old friends, it's sometimes hard to say goodbye. But when it's time to put that car out to pasture, it helps knowing that you're putting it to good use when you donate it to KETR. When you hear the wonderful programming on your station, you can smile knowing that your old car helped to make that happen. Call our toll-free number at 855-KETR-123 to schedule a convenient time to pick up your car, running or not. Just give our driver the title and we'll send you a tax receipt.
Hey everybody, we're back with KETR's Locker Room. Back to talk a little more Rangers with you, as well as some Cowboys. You know, there's always drama with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go ahead and start back with some Rangers. And Matt Garza had a great game last night, and it looked like the Rangers might be coming back from, you know, the
purgatory.
Terrible, purgatory we've been in. And with a walk-off home run from the most unlikely of heroes, Soto last
hitting
night.
Solid 200,
exactly.
I think that made everybody go, what?
A left-field home run that I'm telling you, Ranger Ballpark was going nuts.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, even with that, there's still the talk of we need another bat.
Uh-huh.
We need someone who can hit, and we need more runs. And only scoring four runs last night and having two home runs hit in the ninth inning, that really did prove that, we do need more bats. But a few guys that are out there, Giancarlo Stanton maybe, Andre Ethier, Alex Rios, Justin Morneau. I mean, who do you guys think, you know, we need him, or he will really help us, take us to the next level, get us to the playoffs and whatnot?
Well, honestly, I don't think Giancarlo Stanton is going to be available this year. I think Miami's like, we're holding on to him for as long as we can. But I think if the Rangers waved the white flag on this season and said, hey, let's make a big push for a bunch of bats and a bunch of pitching next year, Giancarlo Stanton would be a huge target. But I think, honestly, the only player we could really get on this list is either Michael Young, get him back, because he would waive his no trade clause to come back home. Or I think Carl Crawford, because the Dodgers took on his ridiculous contract last season to make that playoff push that they didn't even get to the playoffs.
Okay, yeah, we can get those guys, but whatever.
Yeah.
Are they really going to make that much of a difference?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, giving up Joe Nathan, is that make it worse or
better? Yeah,
better?
I don't know.
Honestly, I think the bat on here that can make the most difference in a Ranger is Andre Ethier. Because Andre Ethier can hit.
He can.
And, I mean, he stays healthier than almost everybody on this list. And Chase Utley would be my second best, but you don't know with Utley. He's kind of, you know, Philly.
He's
He's like, you know, the Rangers don't need no more uh-ohs. They have enough of that already.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you really want to do it, either Rios or Ethier, get some sure-handed hitters. Yeah. But I know you're going to have to give up a lot for him. So.
Yeah, Rios is locked up pretty well, and it'd take a lot.
A lot. And you're going to have to trade some pitchers that you really don't want to trade.
He's only
hitting. Is it going to be worth it
to
trade Joe Nathan in the end? Are we going to look back and say, you know, okay, we hit a few more runs, but you know, we're giving up all the runs.
Yeah. He's only hitting 270. He's got a lot of home runs and a lot of RBIs, but 270 is, I don't think, worth trading away a very good closer.
Yes.
So
if you think, is he on the market? Like, what do you think the Rangers can get back from Joe Nathan?
Well, it's not just going to be Joe Nathan. It's going to be prospects, and I don't think anybody. Now, there's been suggestions of let's trade Profar.
Yeah, and I honestly don't disagree with that at this point.
I mean, if you can have a combo, if you're going to do this, get a big name, get someone who's going to come in. Yeah, get Stanton and get someone who we know this guy. Is going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's what you really need to look at when we're going to make this, you know, if we're going to make this trade.
Yeah.
Is who's the guy that, you know, we give up Profar, but we get something that is a surefire deal.
Mm-hmm.
And in baseball, numbers
don't lie.
The whole game is numbers. And yeah, numbers don't lie.
Yeah, so, as the show title suggests, that ESPN show.
So that's what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And, but we've seen. But maybe last night, does last night change everything?
No.
You know, does it make the coaching staff and the general managers and everybody say, you know what, we're on the turnaround, let's stop all this trade talk and let's just stick with what we've got? Or
no.
Yeah. Or does it still continue?
You know, I don't know. I think there's always going to be questions. A good team, bad team, whatever. There's always something you can do to make your team better. Now, if that price is worth it, I think those talks will start pretty soon, one way or the other, because the trade deadline's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, I read a lot of stuff before you guys got here on the possible suspensions for Nelson Cruz, Bartolo Colon, and everybody else. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think there's a chance that Nelson Cruz could be suspended.
I think he's a good chance.
He's honestly the most likely because, like, the Oakland A's aren't acting at all like they're about to lose their best pitcher. They're not even asking for a pitcher.
Yeah.
So that one doesn't look all that likely. But Nelson Cruz could be gone because the Rangers honestly have been freaking out. They've been
give us a bat. Nelson Cruz gone without a doubt.
Yeah. And do you guys think that suspension will come down tomorrow, like maybe around 4 p.m., just a few hours before the trade deadline?
I think it's coming down with A-Rod, and I think it will be, you know, tomorrow or it's soon.
A-Rod's going to be the headline, but Nelson Cruz is going to be the next
player.
It's going
to be A-Rod and then the list of other suspensions.
Well, how about this? Do you think that it's going to come the day of the trade deadline or the day ever? I can't talk
about
it. The day after. The day after the trade deadline, because if it comes the day after, the Rangers can't do anything.
I think he's going to do it before. I think it's going to come before the deadline.
Today or tomorrow?
I mean, but is that one? I mean, let's. I don't know. I mean, I think it comes tomorrow probably, just so baseball can say that they did it before the trade deadline.
And that was fair.
Yeah.
But you're not giving them that much time to work. I mean, you're not. Yeah. It's not like you're. And you're not giving them a chance to see how the team is without Nelson Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can say that they're going to be worse. But they're only putting up 2 runs a game anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not. It's not like they're Nelson Cruz is
like slugging everybody.
Yeah, slugging everybody in.
I mean, he's in the top 5 in home runs, but his batting average is terrible.
Yeah,
his RBIs are terrible.
So I don't think if they lose him that they'll be any worse of a team than they already are.
Okay. Well,
he'll probably be in the same about the same position.
Right. Well, what if it if the trade deadline it I can't talk again. If the suspension stuff comes down or if it doesn't come down by Friday, do you think it's coming at all?
Yes. Oh, it's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
Well,
right
well, I mean,
oh, it's coming.
You think it's coming this season or in the winter, in the off season?
If it don't come in this season, if it come in the winter, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be harsher penalties in the winter.
Yeah, because especially because
they procrastinated with it.
Yeah, and Nelson Cruz is a free agent this winter, and no
yeah,
team's going to want to sign
yeah,
a 50.
Yeah, they're going to be like, no danger.
Yeah, and well, baseball. Well, that's a good point to where they might do that to have the punishments be more severe.
Yeah.
But then you say, well, you knew about this.
Yeah.
Why did you let, you know, these PEDs affect a season?
Yeah, they've already had all of the information they needed for months.
To be honest, if they let these players continue to play, let's say it's by some miracle that the Rangers win the World Series.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and then at the end of the season, Nelson Cruz is suspended for a whole season.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to look at that and say, well, he shouldn't have been playing. The Rangers shouldn't have made the playoffs.
If they did Braun like that, if Ryan Braun got suspended during this season, I think they should do all the players.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking A-Rod will have a huge
penalty. Oh, he's
going to
get like the death penalty.
And the rest will be suspended for the remainder of the season, maybe some next year too.
Okay.
But it just depends on how much they were involved. But, you know, away from player talk, let's go to coaching.
Okay.
And one of our big topics is, should Dave Magadan, who's the hitting coach for the Red Sox last year, is our hitting coach right now. And the Red Sox finished towards the end.
Yes, we got rid of him.
In batting, and we got him.
We got rid of him.
Do we need to go for someone else?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Because the Rangers went from top five in bats in every category last year to
middle of the pack.
The worst offensive season they've ever had.
Yes, this is
as a
and
club.
Keep in mind, we did lose
Josh Hamilton,
some bats. Yeah, with Michael Josh Young. Hamilton, Michael Young, but still, like you're saying, should it make that much of a difference? Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot of the same players: Nelson Cruz, Adrian Beltre, Ian Kinsler's there,
Elvis Andrews.
The coach. If he didn't do well with us and we got rid of him, what makes you think he's going to do good with you? Like, he go to any team, and it's like, oh, man, we have Dave. You know, Dave don't have a good record.
Yeah, and there were questions about, like, why the Rangers fired their hitting coach in the first place. Yeah.
Why did they?
Yeah, because we slumped so bad going into the postseason. Now, I don't know if you can, because it's happened now with two hitting coaches, can you make the argument that it's the players just not caring, or is it the coach?
That's a hard question.
You know, I think some of it's always on the players.
Yeah.
And I don't think we put enough fault on them anyway.
Ever.
But, you know, some of it's always on the players. And these guys are batting worse than they did the year before. And you can blame coaching, but I just see
players have to perform.
It's their responsibility, really, to be the ones that go out there. And you know, how much hitting coaching do these guys need? These guys are in major leagues,
paid
professionals. You know, I don't see them as the coach being that big of a deal.
Yeah,
but I do agree that why did we hire a guy who was terrible, you know, at Boston? That's like, you know, going by records and stuff.
Somebody else in the AL that was horrible, you gonna bring him on in your staff? It's like,
yeah,
okay, Boston.
Exactly. Yeah, we think that he was gonna be some big difference maker or something.
Yeah, I mean, Boston wasn't all that bad. They were still in the top 10 in most categories last season, but overall, like, their team, it wasn't good.
It was horrible. It was depleted. And
yeah, you saw the team
even Big Poppy's
give up.
Trouble.
Yeah, yeah, you saw the team give up on the staff, and when a team gives up on staff, you should know right away not to hire that staff.
Yes.
Because players don't want to play for
them. The Rangers went and hired them. It's like, okay, they fired you. Come here.
Yeah. I think for me, that was almost as big a disappointment as not re-signing Josh Hamilton this offseason.
Yeah.
I think this offseason was just a bad offseason for the Rangers.
I think Nolan Ryan has something up his sleeve, and he's going to, you know, get the troops back to Ranger Nation, because this year has been one of them seasons. The Rangers it's like, is this a nightmare? Is this a dream? Like, y'all doing good for a minute, and then whenever the Rangers seem to be getting on the, you know, up and up, something happens, somebody get hurt, or, you know, the PED conversation come in, and Yu Darvish still hasn't been Yu Darvish. And it's so many questions with the Rangers. Do you see them catching Oakland?
I don't.
I don't see them catching Oakland.
But I see them getting the wild card. But
this week's going to be the telltale for the Rangers with the suspension maybe coming, the trade deadline hitting. They might use this game last night as momentum, so we might see just an overall change in the team. And we've seen that before with no changes made in player personnel, no coaching changes, and just the team's transformed all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Something brings everybody together.
And there's the schedule coming up is kind of scary. I mean, they've got, two more games left against the Angels at home, and then they've got a three-game stand, I think, at the Yankees, a three-game stand at Oakland, and a three-game stand at Los Angeles. That's a terrible schedule. You're not going to win most of those games.
The Yankees have got Jeter back and Soriano, so the Yankees are looking like they might can be able to make a little run here. But don't sleep on the Rays. The Rays is pitching staff. That's what the Rangers need. If the Rangers had the Rays pitching staff, the Rangers will be first place everywhere.
Well, I mean, we've already got good pitching lined up now, though. I think we're good there.
Yeah, this next week, though, is gonna be what it all is for the Rangers.
For sure.
And we'll see. Definitely next show, we'll probably know a lot more.
How many three-game stints you think they can win?
I don't know, but if they can keep winning two out of the three.
Winning series is what gets you to the playoffs.
So that's going to, like we said, that's what's going to be the telltale for the Rangers.
Right.
But let's go ahead and go to Cowboys. Monte Kiffin, is he going to make that big of a difference with the Tampa 2 defense, which is going to supposedly help us force turnovers, which have eluded us
the Bears
like crazy in the past?
Yeah, we were the 28th in the league last year.
That was horrible. That's horrible.
And turnovers are a huge part of winning football. I mean, people talk about how good your quarterback is, and I think defenses are just, you know, kind of thrown to the side because it's such an offensive game now. But we saw the Bears in our generation go to the playoffs or go to the Super Bowl with a terrible quarterback, and we're not giving up hardly any points at all. So,
Rex
defense
Grossman.
Is going to make a huge
Rex Gross.
Is going to make a huge difference for the Cowboys this year. Hopefully, it's better.
Yeah, I mean, let's just talk some numbers about the Super Bowl and turnovers like that. Since winning the Super Bowl 30. In the 1995 season, the Cowboys have been in the top 10 in the turnover category just 3 times out of 18. So, I mean, what are they doing?
I don't honestly recall in the past recent years I've been really watching the Cowboys, their defense just being a vicious defense. Their offense is, for the past, I'll say, 4 or 5 seasons, has always been more of a threat than their defense.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, because their defense has DeMarcus Ware. They have some good pieces on the defensive line. But injuries is what kills the Cowboys every year. The injury of Sean Lee really hurt the Cowboys last year. And I think if he stay healthy, the turnover rates are going to come, because Sean Lee by himself creates so many turnovers by himself because he's fast, he can hit. But, I mean, these corners for the Cowboys are going to have to step up this year.
Yeah,
Carr and Claiborne, they're going to have to get some interceptions.
Well, let's just give you some numbers of how important these turnovers are, and even specifically for the Cowboys.
Go.
The Cowboys went 0-5 with no turnovers.
Wow.
4-2 with one turnover, and 4-1 when they managed 2 turnovers. So a turnover a game almost meant a win.
And they've never got last season more than 2 turnovers a game.
Exactly. And even teams that forced no turnovers in a game were 24-98-1. Terrible record.
Horrible.
If you force one turnover, you at least get close to .500 at 73-89-1. If you force 2, you're 75-48. And if you force 3, you're almost going to win all the time at 83-20.
Yeah.
So just forcing turnovers, if you make that a player goal every game, we're going to force turnovers, you'll win games.
Yeah. At least 2. If the goal is, hey, we want at least 2 turnovers in every game, your defense is...
Because not only can you score, but you take away the chance to score for the other team.
Yeah.
And you give your team another possession and chance to score.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, threefold different things that can happen there that can transform a game. And the Cowboys haven't had that in any
years.
Of their games.
In years. It's been years since the
Cowboys.
And
when they do, they win. And that's...
And when they win big when they have turnovers.
Yeah.
They win huge, like, lopsided victories.
Yeah, I mean, when they played the Detroit Lions and Romo had those 5 touchdowns, most of that came from turnovers.
It's like, why can't this team play this every Sunday?
Yeah.
That's the question. Against Carolina last year, they caused a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. It's like, why can't the Cowboys keep it up? It's like one week they show you, okay, we're the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And the next week is like, who are you?
We're the Cowgirls.
Yes. Yeah. And then the next week, yeah, I just, it's hard.
Right.
I feel for Cowboy fans. I feel for y'all.
All right. Well, an article by Bill Barnwell on Grantland.com, which is a lot of interesting sports articles.
Yeah.
Doug Free and Orlando Scandrick made the all bad starting teams. Wow. Doug Free had a four-year, $32 million deal with $17 million guaranteed. I can't even imagine that amount
That's
of money going
stupid.
In my bank account.
Wow.
Orlando Scandrick made it because he got a six-year, $28.2 million contract for someone who's an undersized, average-level slot cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
So do you agree with Bill Barnwell and his selections here?
With Doug Free,
I think,
yes.
Yeah, Doug Free making that. I mean, he was fifth in the league in blown blocks and led the league in both false starts and total penalties. So I can't talk today. So, yeah, I mean, Doug Free is one of the worst acquisitions the Cowboys have made. Everyone hates Doug Free.
Everybody.
I agree.
But I don't know if Orlando Scandrick, I don't know if I agree with that one.
Yeah, Orlando Scandrick, I mean, we'll pay anybody who can come in and, you know, do something at corner.
Yeah.
So we needed somebody, you know, at least now we have someone. It seems like sometimes when we had people out there, it's better that we had no one out there.
Mm.
But at least Orlando Scandrick is not that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I'm the same with you, Cooper. Doug Free.
Oh, yeah, that's the consensus.
Definitely a crazy
every game,
game,
at least every game, Doug Free.
We're
got
paying
a
him
penalty.
More money for less years than Scandrick, and that right there to me tells it all.
Yeah.
And the Texans added Joe Mays, the player who hit Matt Schaub. So let's end it on that. What do you guys think about
good move?
Someone on your team who knocked the living daylights out of you.
That's a good move for them because he's not hitting Matt Schaub. So. I mean,
yeah.
If he can hit other quarterbacks like that, it's a great move.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking somebody away from someone else.
Yeah, so, I mean, as long as Matt Schaub isn't getting hurt, the Texans are going to have a good year. So that's a good move by the Texans, I think.
All right, well, this has been KETR's Locker Room. I want to thank you for joining us today and listening in. We'll be back Friday at around 5 o'clock if you want to listen to that, too. This has been KETR's Locker Room. I'm Taylor Phelps.
I'm Cooper Welch.
And I'm Jordan Davis.
Thank you again.